Dave, you're already confusing me. I just have to tell you. Because you guys, are you here? Because I've been to sporting events where West Salem, like, won a football game, and I've seen cheering. I've seen grown men who would otherwise not give each other the hug, you know, the 1, 2, 3 hug. I've seen grown men at football games slapping each other on the butt. I mean, I've been places where you guys, I've seen elderly women giving each other high fives with their foot in the air. But here we are talking about the nation of God restored, David uniting them, and he's about to bring the Ark of the Covenant. We stand here, we go, that's good. That's a good story. Well, we're not going to have it. We're going to start a party. So I'm going to have the worship guys come out, and we're going to sing a song. I need you guys to stand up. Check this out. The Ark of God is coming back into town. There's no way we're just going to sit here and say, oh, that's great. Let's understand something. The nation is restored. The land is restored. The Ark of the Covenant is coming back. The spiritual epicenter is coming back into town. There's no way we're just going to stand here. We're going to sing. And we're going to have a party. So I want to see clapping hands. I want to see some jumping. Because let's not forget, the epicenter of this nation is coming back to town. The Ark is coming. Let's have a party.
Every blessing you pour out of, turn back to free. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, let me bring the name of the Lord. Let me be your name. Let me be the name.
The party stopped quite abruptly. You can have a seat. This celebration, this huge, exciting moment, and all of a sudden the ark starts to tip, and Uzzah reaches out. He touches it. He dies. And immediately the party is over. There's no more excitement because something just happened. If you got your Bibles, open with me to Numbers chapter 4. In the Pew Bibles, it's page 131. Numbers chapter 4, we see that the Kohathites are being spoken about here, and they are a tribe of the Levites. Okay, and verse 15 says, after Aaron and his sons have finished covering the holy furnishings and all the holy articles, and when the camp is ready to move, the Kohathites are to come to do the carrying. They must not touch the holy things, or they will die. The Kohathites are to carry those things that are in the tent of the meeting. And then over in Chronicles, in Chronicles chapter 15, verse 2 says, David said, no one but the Levites may carry the ark of God, because the Lord chose them to carry the ark of the Lord and to minister before him forever. Skip to verse 15. And the Levites carried the ark of God with the poles on their shoulders, and Moses had commanded, as Moses had commanded in ordinance with the word of the Lord. So God had commanded, and David knew it, that the Levites were supposed to carry it up on their shoulders using those poles that you see here, similar to that. God had commanded that, but something was different. They didn't do that. They carried it in on a cart. And I hope that you this morning can grab two things from this message. First of all, we need to follow after God, not after our culture. We need to follow after God, not after our culture. Ryan walked us through some of this history. It was amazing to walk through this stuff for us to understand that. In 1 Samuel, we see that the Philistines captured the ark. They have it, and Ryan talked about the 7 months and the tumors and all that nasty stuff. And then they brought it back. And we read that in 1 Samuel chapter 6. They bring it back with guilt offerings. There's gold. It says it has gold tumors and gold rats. They send it back on a cart. And then we pick it up in chapter 6 of 2 Samuel that we've been reading here. And they bring it in on the ark just the way that the culture did. David knew how it was supposed to be carried in, but it was the popular way at that time. And God specifically said to take it a certain way, but He didn't do that. Our culture screams out to us, and I know how enticing the culture is to go, okay, I see these commercials, I see TV, I see movies, I read magazines, all this stuff. And our culture says, we want you to do these certain things. And yet, God says something different. Our culture pretty much believes in at least a God. But the culture says, God just wants you to be happy. Nothing more, nothing less. God just wants you to be happy. Our culture says that you need to help yourself. Look out for number one. Our culture says that sex outside of marriage, no big deal. And quite frankly, marriage, it's a temporary throwaway type of relationship. It's no real strong bond there. Our culture says it's okay to cut corners and take shortcuts in order to get ahead in life. But that's not what God says. God is completely different than that, and it's so easy to fall down the roads of what the culture says. Two students this morning are going to share with us about how they have been going counterculture, going with what God has been saying to their hearts. And Katie Clapper is going to come on up here and share with you a little bit about how she's been dealing with the culture saying, be independent, look to yourself, take care of you. So Katie, if you would share a little bit.
I'm Katie Clapper, and I'm a senior at West Salem High School. And last Sunday, we got back from a youth conference called Life. And that was a 6-day event where God changed my life. He'd been challenging me to really reach out to other people within our youth group. And I presented that challenge to the rest of the girls in my group. So there were 6 other girls in my adult leader. And we decided that's what we were going to do that week, reach out to other people in our youth group. And at the end of the week, we presented that challenge to the rest of the youth group that was there at the conference. And God just showed us that He really wants us to be a community of unity within the youth group. And now Eric asked me to come speak to you. And I realized it wasn't just in the youth group that God wanted this. He wants it in the entire church.
Danielle, yeah. Danielle Walter is a middle school student, and we went out to a Youthquake, a summer service project camp this summer. And Danielle, you stepped into this realizing the culture says, serve yourself. Share a little bit about what God spoke to your heart this summer.
Well, one day we were out on our work site, and we were doing work, yard work, for a lady named Edna. And she was old and bent over and really small and frail looking. But then at the end of our work day, she wanted to pray for us. And that's when I realized that her heart was a lot bigger than she was. And I knew right then that that's how I want to be all through my life.
So you want to become this woman of prayer like her. And since Youthquake, tell us a little bit about what's been happening even before and after as far as serving others.
Youthquake was giving me a great opportunity to not only learn about serving others, but put it into practice. And the way I've done that at home is I'm really into signing. I take a class at Walker. And I really want to continue with that and maybe become an interpreter someday.
Very cool. Thanks, Danielle. Appreciate it. Too often, we follow after the culture. And then every now and then, God grabs our heart. He says, no, I don't want you to do that. I want you to follow what I have to say. But so often, the reason is we don't spend enough time in the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Gotten into God's word. We need to get into God's word and hide it in our heart. We need to read it and study it, memorize it and meditate on it, and allow it to go from here in our heads into our hearts. And that's how we're going to know what God wants from us. Spending time in His word. We need to do that before we go out on our own. And then we need to respond to God's word. The second thing I hope that we can take from this morning is this. If you're in a relationship with God, you can't play both sides of the fence. And I think most of us know what that's about. I've been there. Surely many of you have as well. Where you play a little bit of the God thing, you play a little bit of the non-God thing. And you look at the Israelites that we've been talking about this morning. They could have easily complained to God and said, but Why could the Philistines touch the ark? Why could they carry the ark in a cart? It's not fair. Why can't we do that? They didn't die when they touched it. Granted, they got tumors and all that stuff. But look at what Ryan said. Back to that. The Israelites handled the ark incorrectly. Uzzah touched it. Imagine if he had a moment before he was realizing he was going to die. He could have easily said, "But God, I was just trying to help you. This is the ark. It was going to fall over. We're not allowed to sit." True, but you know what? If the ark had been handled correctly in the first place, if they'd gone to the Word, that would have never been an issue. The Philistines, they weren't under God's law. So they didn't end up dying. They got those nasty tumors, but they didn't end up dying. And King David knew the Scriptures. He knew what God wanted. He knew how the ark was supposed to be handled. And yet he went the way of the culture. He went with what was popular. If you got your Bibles, follow with me to Romans chapter 6 in your pew Bibles. That's on page 1116. Romans chapter 6. Starting in verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" When we enter into relationship with God, we are broken from the bonds of slavery to sin. That sinful self. It's no more. We can release it because God has freed us. Pick it up in verse 15. "Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness." Verse 19, "I put this in human terms because you're weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them to righteousness, in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness." The Philistines were free from that control because they were slaves to sin. They weren't in relationship with God. Verse 21, "What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you've been set free from sin, you become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Our flesh screams out to sin. And we wouldn't really sin if there wasn't something enticing about it. If there wasn't something that there was some bit of joy. But our flesh cries out, "Do that, do that, do that." I've been there, I know. But if you're in relationship with God and you're dealing with that, when you're sinning, you're not fully happy because you've got the Holy Spirit in you. And when you're worshiping God, you're not fully happy because you've got sin issues in your life that you're not releasing to God. We can't play both sides of the fence. Last week we're at this life conference that Katie talked about. And one of the speakers, Francis Chan, gave a great illustration of how we often play both sides of the fence. And he used milk and lemonade, and I don't do very well with milk, so I've got issues. But I want to use Sprite Remix. You see, I've become a big fan of Sprite Remix. I love it. And I also love that garlic butter that they have at Papa John's. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, so good. And I don't even order the pizza. Pizza's good, love Figaro's, all that stuff, but I just get the breadsticks, dip it into the garlic butter. So good. I love Sprite Remix. And I love garlic butter. And I love Sprite Remix. And I love garlic butter. It's good. Here's the thing. Often in the morning, we'll wake up and we'll spend some time and we'll pray to God. And then we'll leave the house and we'll smoke some pot. And then we go to church and we worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we walk out the doors
and we gossip and we lie. Excuse me. And then we spend time in the Word and we read it and we get into a Bible study. And we go home at night and we look at pictures on the internet that we shouldn't. And you wonder why you're sick. Back and forth like that. Walking after God, following your sin, walking after, back and forth, you're going to end up getting sick. And sometimes we say, you know what? I'm going to commit to God. Just about everything. 90% of me, all out for God. But there's just this one little sin that I can't let go of. That I need to hold on to. And then we think we're okay. But we're not. We're not okay. Oh. Romans 12:1 and following says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. When you enter into relationship with God, you need to get off the fence and offer yourself completely to God and follow after Him wholeheartedly. We can't follow after what the culture is telling us anymore. We need to follow God, get in His Word, let it sink into our hearts, and then apply it to our lives. And fully follow after Jesus. We need to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts and with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Let's love God together.